you can come to stand up here in the middle and
I can speak
identify yourself and
Hi, I'm Dave Forrest, citizen of New Holland Borough. I live in the community for a while. I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you, school board directors, for your volunteer service on behalf of the students and the community. And I want to thank you for your volunteer service. Also thank our administrators for their leadership and education. And I would like to have the opportunity and privilege to lead us in prayer. And if you would like to pray along, that's fine. If not, but I would love to have that opportunity if I could. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for these men and women that serve tirelessly as volunteers, as administrators, and I thank you for that. Lord, I pray for wisdom for them as they have this meeting and as they provide leadership in our educational system here. Help them to listen, learn, and lead, Lord. And I pray that you would help them keep in mind that our students' education is the paramount focus, and help them not to get distracted. It's easy as a leader to get distracted. And Lord, I just pray that you give them clarity and focus. Lord, I pray that you would help our professional and support staff to serve well together. I think of this week as many of our students are taking PSSA tests, Lord, that would go well if they'd be able to stay focused, Lord. And I also pray for our school that it would be a place of safety, for physical and emotional safety for our students. Lord, I pray you protect us from any intruders or students who would want to do harm. And Lord, we thank you for the protection you've given us so many years. Thank you for each person that serves and that you lead and guide and direct in this meeting. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. I guess we have a personnel report this evening. Hopefully, you've gotten a chance to look over that. And I would look for a motion to approve that.
So moved.
We had, I think Rodney beat you. Much. Oh. And Jenny second, Rodney and Becky. Were there any other, is there any discussion on anything on the personnel report? Okay, then all in favor say aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Property and Services Committee, Mr. Ramsey.
Okay, we have three action items this evening. The first is the approval of the Lancaster Lebanon Intermediate Unit number 13 General Operating Budget and Instructional Materials Service Budget for the 13-14 school year. The general obligation budget reflects a 1.7% increase in total expenditures, but there is no district assessment for that budget. The budget that we are assessed a fee is the IMS, or the Instructional Materials Service Budget, and that's reflecting a zero increase over the prior year, so we're going to see no increase in that line item in our budget. the attachments are there with the agenda item, and if you have any questions, Mr. Irvin or myself would be happy to probably answer them. Any questions? Okay. The next action item is approval of PlanCon Part K and to authorize its submission to PDE. Part K is the project refinancing where we did the refunding of the 2008 issue with the 2013 issue. And all that does for reimbursement purposes, it just takes the reimbursable percentage, 33.65% project reimbursement, and it assigns it to the new issue, which is the 2013 issue. Any questions on that at all? Okay. The last action item that I have this evening is approval of the e-signature resolution. PDE is looking at, for the 13-14 school year, to allow for e-signatures rather than having the official manual signatures, if you will, on the consolidated application for our federal grants. So what they're looking at is we need to have this resolution adopted, which is basically gives the authority to Dr. Larkin, the assistant to the superintendent, to approve electronically the consolidated application. Any questions on that at all?
Do they have some type of system that you can log in and sign it down?
Through our e-grant system,
so it's all done electronically and there's no
correct.
So
yeah, right now what happens, a lot of times I'll do that with the quarterly caches. It's just based on my username. I sign in the system. The way the e-grants works, Nadine, Dr. Larkin, completes the budget and the applications. We have to print them out. Dr. Hofstra has to sign them, and we have to send them in. So this is just going to be all electronic. So hopefully the turnaround will be better.
Yeah, that's great. I know the federal government's been a little slow to get on board with e-signatures.
I know.
In my business anyways.
Right. Okay, information items. I have several information items. The first one, as you recall, last year in May, when we appointed Trotter, Brasseur, and Groff to be our auditors, there was a request to go out and request proposals for auditing services this year. Wanted to let you know that they are out on the street, if you will, and they're due back May 3rd. What I did is we put an ad in the paper, we put the proposal on our website, and I also solicited the other school districts to see who they use and if they're happy. And I got the contact information, and I did forward it to all those auditing firms within Lancaster and Lebanon County. So, again, May 3rd, I'll open them publicly. We'll review them. We can see if we have a recommendation, we'll bring that forward at the May committee meeting for approval at the May board meeting.
And that doesn't work like the building where we have to use the take the lowest bidder, does it?
That's correct. This is a service. You do not have to take the lowest. So we can all evaluate them and then bring a recommendation forward. Yep. The all-sports insurance, as you recall, last year we saw a huge increase over the prior year in cost. It was an 83.1% increase from the prior year, which basically went from $13,000 to $25,000 in 1 year. A lot of that was players that did not have insurance, they were uninsured, and when the way our insurance works, this accident insurance pays the first 100 hours, then it coordinates with the individual's insurance, and whatever that doesn't pay, it picks up the remainder. Having some injuries where there was no insurance picked up a lot of the cost. We got our proposal for next year, and they're looking at holding the price the same, but it's still in excess of $25,000 for this type of coverage. It's not mandatory for us to provide it. Therefore, when you saw our preliminary budget back in January, this type of insurance was eliminated. Now, again, it's not mandatory. Therefore, if the board is okay moving forward with it, we would not provide it, but we would communicate pretty heavily to the parents that any type of injuries would be on their own insurance. So, any questions on that at all?
Do we know what the percentage of participants are that are uninsured?
We do not know that answer. We don't ask who doesn't have insurance.
Be pretty simple.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could. We just have never. I actually asked our athletic director what type of communication do they communicate to parents with the sports insurance, and there's really no communication at all. There's only communication once there's an injury. So that could be something that
so
we would
families
continue.
Aren't even aware that this is out there. Is that what you're saying? Or that TR is saying families aren't aware that there's this all sports insurance out there. They just assume that it's on them.
No, there's not. They don't assume it's on them. I shouldn't say there's no communication. Back when we just had football insurance, there was communication where he had to get information and parents had to sign off that there was insurance coverage. That was several years ago, probably 5 years ago, I'm thinking.
Not quite five.
Yeah, almost 5 years ago. But now that we're having the all-sports insurance, I mean, there's really no communication from what I have gathered that there's any communication there at all. So whether or not they know or don't know, I don't know the answer to that.
So if there was a student that was uninsured and they were injured during the Garden Spot activity, we eliminated the all sports package, how would that fall out?
That would fall on them completely. Parents would pay that.
The short history here is I would say it's about 4 years ago that we recommended to the board to increase our insurance coverage to cover all activities when it was only football at that time because it was very reasonable. It was very reasonable. Well, this is no longer reasonable. I mean, it's a huge increase. And so we would fall back to the way things were done 4 years ago. Injuries would fall back on parents' insurance or parents' pockets.
So really it's more of an information discussion item with the board. I mean, when you're looking at a $40 million budget, you know, $25,000 is a huge piece of it, but just wanted the board to know that it's not included in the preliminary budget. If you would like to add it, we could add it for the $25,000.
We've tried to find dollars everywhere we can to keep it away from academic programming as much as possible, knowing that I would never recommend that we do that completely, but we're trying to push as many dollars towards our primary, you know, daytime job, so to speak, and that being academics. And that's not to say anything less about the activities that occur after school, because some of us, that's the reason we come to school, and I get that. And there's a lot of learning that takes place on the athletic fields and in the gymnasium. But it's about dollars at this point.
Yeah, no, I'm not suggesting that I'm opposed to it. I was just wondering if it increases our liability at all. Right. That was my perspective. Because I'd rather spend the money on our core mission than on a sports program.
I think that's not an answer we can give you. I think regardless of what happens, you're always going to be liable in that someone can sue you for anything, you know. If we made a mistake and a student got injured on the field, it's our fault and we should pay. That's sort of how I look at it.
That's separate from this insurance.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Glenn.
I'm sorry, that's separate from this insurance. That would be a different pool.
And I shared, you know, this with our solicitor, and he came back and said, you know, just communicate it very well. It's not mandatory, not required to cover it. He didn't come back and say, hey, you're going to, you know, extend your risk, if you will. I also sent an email to our liability carrier. I haven't heard back yet. You know, when I hear back from him, I can let you know, but asking if there's any risk on us. But really, as Dr. Hollister said, you know, they bear their own risk playing the sport. If there's something that happened, a pipe was sticking up and they hurt themselves and we didn't knew about it and didn't fix it, then we'd have liability coverage for that. But
and to be truthful, there was actually some resistance from part of the board, and I can't remember who or how much, but there was resistance to us offering the insurance to all activities years ago because of the potential for the cost going up. And, you know, the administration's comeback was, well, as long as it's affordable, we should do it. Well, at this point, it might not be affordable.
My question to you is, is this a secondary payer to the – this insurance would be a secondary payer, right? It would not be primary in an event of an incident on field. It wouldn't be primary insurance. Their personal insurance would be primary. This would be a secondary if they didn't have insurance or
– What happens is this insurance pays the first $100. After the first 100, it then coordinates with the individual's insurance. So if the individual's insurance pays the balance of it, the most we're out is $100, or the insurance is out. Then if they don't have any insurance, it comes back to this policy and it pays the remainder. And that's why when, prior to switching carriers, you know, they, our premium's going to go up to $50,000 because that's what they paid out in claims over the last couple of years. So then we switched and came in at the $25,000. I don't know how to say primary or secondary. I mean, it depends on what insurance the other individual has.
I was just thinking, if tongue-in-cheek, if more people are getting insurance, this should be getting cheaper instead of getting higher. Because supposedly everybody's getting insurance, and this is supposed to be secondary to that, so this should be much cheaper, tongue-in-cheek.
To be honest with you, I think when I talk to most school districts, I mean, they're in the low, like, $11,000, $12,000, $13,000 range, like we were. When I told them how much we were paying, they were just amazed. And, again, because of a lot of the uninsured claims that are out there.
But what Mr. Jones was saying, if we asked everybody who participates in any sport to supply us with their primary health insurance, and if they didn't have it, make them aware of programs like CHIP, which, you know, is free or very low cost for families that can't afford it, then everybody would have a primary insurance, and it would even be advantageous for the school to self-insure the first $100, you know, rather than get an insurance company and then just rely on everyone's primary insurance. You understand what I'm saying? There is like $100 that we have to put up. Well, let's just put it in the budget. If we've got, you know, 600 students that, you know, participate in sports, we allow for that. And if we don't use it, it's highly unlikely that every student would have an injury. I would look at our program if that was the case. Then, you know, we haven't spent money out, and yet every kid would have insurance either through their, what they already have from their parents, or if they don't qualify, we could give them information on the free or reduced insurances.
Yeah, well, kind of. It's like our own health savings account. Well, I'm not sure, but I think the point about making them aware, I mean, that's...
Am I hearing you? We aren't really required by law to have insurance even for football, correct?
Correct. Prior to going to the all sports, we just did varsity football. We didn't do, you know, junior high or anything, just varsity football. Senior high football.
What would you like us to do? there's a couple ideas on the table.
Do we have to vote on it? Is it an option to think about?
No, this is an information item, so it's not an action item. We can continue to talk about it. It is in the budget, however. We'd have to put a caveat in.
If we dropped it, then we could.
I mean, I'm sorry. It's a saving. When I say it's in the budget, it's in the budget plan, I should say, to be more accurate.
To drop it all together.
Mm-hmm.
If there would be any way to get from TR ones that ones that experienced injuries, how many of them had insurance of their own, and what happened with that situation? I mean, you know what I'm saying? How many were?
Yeah, I don't know how we.
If he'd have that available.
Let us look to see what information we can get. I'm not sure that people are, you know, if we send out a survey to all the athletes and say, please tell us if you had insurance while you were playing football, I'm not sure we're going to get a good return on any of that. We'd have to extrapolate. You know what I mean? I don't know that.
But why can't you make that a requirement to participate?
Oh, going forward. You're saying going forward.
You have to say whether or not you have it.
We can do that, sure.
I mean, that's not excluding anything from it. Give them an option for if it's money is the issue. And if their parents truly don't believe in insurance and they want to just accept all this, fine, you know, let them do that.
Okay. All right. We'll come back with a plan that we can choose some more.
Sounds good.
The information item number three, we did receive confirmation from PDE. That we did receive approval of the two exceptions that we applied for. It was for the PEASERS costs and the special education costs. The total amount was just over $423,000. This approval would allow the district to raise taxes above the 1.7% index by 1.5% for a combined total increase of 3.2%. Again, that's just the maximum that we would be able to go up. Not saying we would go there. It's just, you know, we have approval to go that high. The last item, information item, is the go ahead.
Sorry. So we have permission to go to 3.2. We don't have permission to go higher.
Correct.
And I think we probably, and I'm looking at this from the administration standpoint, we ought to have direction. And right now we're, as the admin team is looking to try and get to the 1.7 in terms of a tax increase. But if the will of the board is different, we should hear from you now. Because right now with the various cuts that we're doing with the reorganization and some of the other things that we're doing, with the retirements factored in now, we think we can get to that 1.7. But if the will of the board is to do less, we need to know, because those cuts would be I would characterize as aggressive. And if we're going to do that, we should do that now.
Do you mean now, tonight, the 8th, or now?
Now this month. I mean, we really need to have some clear direction from the board on what our orders are to finish out the budget process.
And just to follow up on Mr. Jones' question, if we wanted to go higher than the 3.2, we'd have to go to the voters. So if we need to go 5%, we'd have to go to the local voters to go higher than 3.2.
As a point of information, if we went to the voters, would that be like on the next ballot, or would there be a special referendum?
It would be in May, or the one coming up in the spring here.
I'm sorry, by saying that we can balance it with the 1.7, that's including taking money out of the PEASERS fund balance.
That's my next information.
I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead here. But.
Yes. The 2000, if you can open up that attachment there, Nick. In our preliminary budget, the deficit in that budget was just over $1.1 million. When we take out the debt service for the Brecknock project, since we're going to pay cash for that building project now, you're looking at $110,000, which was the total of the last 2 years in debt service that we were utilizing to phase in that 3-year phase into the debt. Brings us down to a current budget deficit of just under $1 million. With the value of $1,980,000, the total increase that we need to balance the budget is just over $500,000, or 3.36%. If you recall that we have a PEASERS fund balance reserve, if you will, which is non-reoccurring, we could use about $530,000 of that, 1.93% of that, 3.6%. And we would get to a 1.7% tax increase. So that's how we would get to the index. Again, keep in mind that PEASERS fund balance usage is non-reoccurring, and once it's gone, it's gone. But our hopes were to help slowly move money into that to help with the large, sharp increase. So that's where we are right now. So. Any questions or comments?
Have you heard anything more about the federal side or Title I money or anything like that?
Our understanding is that the federal side, the 5% reduction across the board. And again, we haven't received any numbers yet for next year. Dr. Larkin and I are going to a federal programs conference next week, so hopefully maybe we'll get some allocations, who knows. But at seminar I was at last month, they said it was going to be a 5% across the board. So for us, when you look at the Title I, that's $60,000.
And you have that figured in this that you're showing us tonight?
Well, that's what's going to happen is staffing, yes. I mean, but Dr. Larkin and I will, yes, incorporate that. Yep.
Any other questions or comments for Mr. Ramsey? All right, Program Committee.
There are no action items or information items from the Program Committee tonight. That ends my report.
All right. Thank you. Then the Management Committee.
Thank you, Dr. Larkin. Management, we have action items for next week, adoption of the 700, 800, and 900 series of policies, which will finish. Finally, our complete policy review that's been ongoing for several years now. Please note that in this review period that there have been some changes to policy 815, which is the computer policy. Mr. Wooten did review that with a new eye based on some information that he received recently, as well as the long-term, or, well, there is no such thing as a long-term plan of technology, but in the very near future plan for our technology in the district, there's some semantic changes that he would like to have in the policy. So there are some changes to policy 815 from what you have, and they are attached. Again, mostly semantics, not significant in substance per se. Any questions with the policies that we're looking for adoption next week? Once again, thanks to the subcommittee who worked on them, Mr. Hartz, Dr. Zimmerman, and Mr. Wenzel. A lot of extra time put into that. Again, a lot of folks had eyes on those policies before we're ready to make the final recommendation next week. Information item, the district calendar, something we've been discussing in terms of how we publish that. Going forward, next year, we're going to try something new, no longer printing the calendars for all district families. We're going to try an online version of the calendar. We see that as with multiple benefits. The first being that it will be cost effective. Currently, we pay about $4,900 to have the district calendar printed and then handed out to all families. The additional benefit that we're excited about is the calendar will be updated regularly. As changes occur, we can update them online, and the calendar will actually be more reflective of what's happening. Typically by mid-year, the calendar's off, and they're really not as valuable at that point. One of the interesting finds is sometimes the answers are literally right underneath your nose. The web service that we use has a calendar on it as a part of its functions, and it's an interactive piece. You can actually set... parents will be able to go in and actually set a customized calendar that they can set up. So, for example, if I'm a parent, I just want to know what days the students are off, I can hit a button and just get that information, or I can get information per school. And there's a couple different search venues there. The only one other piece is the athletic calendar will still need to be a separate piece, but will be sitting on the website in the same place. Only because there's an agreement among all the schools who participate to use a set calendar. So we'll have a link to that calendar, but essentially all this will be online. If we do receive significant pushback, and we may, from families saying, "Well, I really missed that calendar, that hard copy," we'll print calendars in the schools for folks who really, really want them. Typically, for example, at the elementary schools, they put out a monthly calendar anyway on paper. We think that the savings in terms of secretarial time, in terms of actual printing costs, in terms of distribution, all of those things will help us out across the board. So we're making that recommendation with the thought that we'll see how it goes and we'll make adjustments. Even if we had to print a hard copy for for every family off of our district copiers, it would still be less expensive than running to a printer to do that. So we think it's a good move to not only save the outright cash for the printing, but like as I said, there's other issues in distribution and accounting and all that stuff that's just a little bit of time for our secretaries that they won't need to put forth. So we think it's a good move, and we'll continue to look at that and see if we make some other changes going forward.
Would there be any ability on that to like sync it with a calendar on a smartphone or something?
Good question. I think there is, yes. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
Is this different than the online calendar we already have?
The online calendar? No, it's not. It's using that particular calendar that we have. I know. Like I said, it was right there under our nose the whole time. The other thing is, typically the calendar have included the handbooks that we've published, and we have another solution for that too, so that there'll be a signature sign off for parents for the handbook piece as well. So I think we've got it covered. And as I said, we'll see how it goes. There's another option to go the opposite direction, which we explored, and I should share that we did. One of the school districts in the county works a deal with the Coupon Clipper magazine, and literally develops a high-gloss, high-color calendar for free. But the catch is the Coupon Clipper mails that calendar to every resident in the school district. So you're basically doing their job for them, and then the calendar has coupons attached to every month. So there's another option if people really got to have their calendar. There's another way to go with this. So we think we like this option for now. We'll see how it goes. Any other comments? Okay. Then just an announcement regarding graduation. Reminder to board members, if you're planning to come to graduation, we need to know if you're going to be seating on the floor behind the graduates, which is our tradition. As a point of information, we will continue to do an amazing job broadcasting and streaming graduation. We were the first in the county to stream graduation live. We're going to continue to do that, and we'll continue to put on the graduation ceremony on the screens in the auditorium. That has helped us tremendously. The real secret is the best seats in the house are in the auditorium. You actually get the best view because of the camera shots. It's almost like watching a baseball game. You know, sometimes when you're in the stands, it's not as good a show as when you're sitting at home on the chair. So we do have the auditorium will be open for particularly the elderly who are not as able to sit in those stands because they get uncomfortable. We've been able to do that for the last couple of years. So that's going on for graduation. The last comment I have for board members is a reminder. Mrs. Abel has asked me to remind several board members that their ethics forms are due. You should know who you are. She may have made a note in your folders. Need to get those in. And those who, I'm guessing those smiling are the ones who are the guilty parties. Got to have that by like May, I think it's May 1st. And if you recall, several years ago, the legendary story is we were cited because someone failed to turn that in. An audit found that. So we want to make sure we get those in, folks. And that is that's all I have, other than we do need to have an executive session for personnel matters, negotiations, and a legal matter.
Any other comments or announcements or questions?
Just like to make a comment. The young lady that had a brain aneurysm is a close friend of my daughter, and just to how our teachers reach out. Julie Groff took at least two or three. I'm not sure how many students down to Philadelphia to visit with her late last week and to lift her spirits up. And she hopes to walk to graduation.
Yeah.
Parents have been very appreciative of what the school has done for the family, as always. I'm not surprised. We've got good folks.
Okay. Any others? If not, then a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.